Welcome back to the Thermo Diet Podcast. Today, we've got a special episode for you guys. We are joined by the CEO of Umzu, Christopher Walker. Chris has a great knowledge of nutrition, health, and bioenergetics, and he's the reason Jade and I are doing this podcast and sitting here today. So without further ado, let's dive in. Today, we've got a special episode for all of you. We're joined by our CEO, Christopher Walker.
What's up? Glad to be here.
Glad to have you on. So we're going to interview Chris a little bit and hear what he has to say about a number of questions. So first and foremost, what inspired you to think of the Thermo Diet?
So the Thermo Diet was actually, you know, it was a progression in thought over time. Initially, I was dealing with problems with my brain tumor when I was younger. And that journey led me to, you know, realize the power that nutrition has in, helping you control your health. And then unveiling kind of the backwards reality of a lot of, conventional wisdom around nutrition. And what's actually real is quite different, or it's a lot of times the opposite of what everyone thinks.
Yeah.
And so, I started off when we first started Umzu years ago, started off focusing specifically on education for men's health. And I was, I was focused on that prior to starting Umzu, and that was, you know, just a huge part of everything I was diving into with nutrition. But then over time we realized, these are actually, real principles that in play here. And, this can apply to anybody, mm-hmm. not just people that are looking to increase their testosterone and so forth. So, I dug into what are the principles behind it all. And that's where the Thermo Diet itself kind of came into the new era of, mm-hmm. of what it is and evolved and, became what it is now. Just realizing, realizing that there are these core principles to your health and, focusing on that really, in a way that applies to anybody.
Yeah. It's almost weird. Cause like, if you look back, I'd say going back 100 years, you hear about all these foods that are so for healing a cold or common cold, whatever it is, they all have these uses in their whatever it is like these remedies, and they're almost like folklores today that people don't actually believe them. It's like the chicken noodle soup has like real nutritional properties that are healing, and people just completely discredit it today because of like the modern medicine system and how it's viewed today that nutrition is not as important.
Yeah. And there's, especially in the last 100 years, there were a lot of huge kind of, propaganda level marketing campaigns that shifted like public belief, I guess, over time. And especially when you go through a few generations, it becomes a belief really because, once it's removed, it just is really this received wisdom or, something that, or received knowledge where it's something that nobody's really fact checked in detail. And then you just believe it, until you look into the backstories of a lot of these things. And then you kind of realize why people left that in the dust. And they're pretty revealing, really interesting stories. I talk about a bunch of them in the Thermo Diet book.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the Thermo Diet book, like all of like the history, because it makes so much sense when you look at it in that lens.
Yeah, it gives you context.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think, or how do you think it came about that like today, I feel like so many people just don't think nutrition matters in the aspect of just like, all that matters is if you eat enough, like, if you eat more than you burn, you'll gain weight. It's like if it fits your macros kind of thing where you eat less than you burn, you'll lose weight. And I think a part of that's in like the bodybuilding sphere, but it's just like, I feel like so many people have no credibility with nutrition as in like just eating enough. Do you have any thoughts on like where that came about?
I think you're right. I think it did come out of the bodybuilding world. Especially for people that are athletes or like training a lot, they're burning so much that, they see it as like, hey, it works. I just got to control the calories and the macro proportions and it'll, get the effect I'm looking for. I think what happens though, it gets lost in translation is the general public starts to think that's all you got to do. Because in reality, the micronutrient aspect of everything is actually super important because those are essentially the raw materials and the chemical messengers and everything that goes into creating long-term health and longevity. Whereas, if someone's just following purely, if it fits your macros type style eating, you're setting yourself up for deficiencies and or you're not correcting current deficiencies. So, which will have an effect over time.
Yeah.
And a lot of times like really dramatic effects.
Yeah. So we need to change it to if it fits your micros.
if it fits your micros, I'm like, yeah, that's good.
So how is your, I know you came from like more of a paleo background. Yeah. How was your view of the thermodynamic progress over time?
Basically, yeah, when I first started diving in, I was actually my first, when I was learning how to, you know, blog and podcast and stuff back in the day, I apprenticed for a paleo podcaster, to learn the ropes. Basically, I had my foot dipped in the paleo world, and but then I quickly realized, I was like, I don't really agree with everything, because just mainly on the rigor involved and like looking into things, the argument was mainly around, basically a hypothetical scenario of what our ancestors would have eaten, or hunter gatherers, whatever. In reality, like, we know some of that, but in reality, we don't know all that. So it's kind of this, it's a good idea, but it's not like rigorous in terms of what's real.
People make that argument for like dairy. It's like, well, we shouldn't be eating dairy or drinking dairy, whatever it is, because, you know, it's not, it's like humans, why are humans the only ones to do that? It's like, well, why are you on Instagram and TikTok commenting? Like, we obviously are a special case that evolved in some different way.
Yeah. And people have been eating cheese for thousands of years.
Yeah.
It's been a part of the evolution of people. But yeah, it's really interesting to dive into even like a specific random food like cheese or bread, and look at like the story behind it and, how it got to be where it is now. I think those intense, looks at a backstory are actually really revealing.
Yeah. And so many of the foods that people have issues with isn't because of the foods themselves. It's because of like how we've forgotten to process the foods, like sourdough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like bread is, sourdough bread is kind of the original way to make bread from many thousands of years ago. And somehow they knew how to do that. And they knew that was the way that you could actually get the nutritional value and break down the anti-nutrients and everything in the bread. But along the way, we've definitely gotten lost, especially in the last 100 years, when manufacturing really reached a height and, streamlining that and scaling it up became like the focus of industry. It really changed our food supply in a big way. So, there's a lot of food out there that and that's what a lot of thermo, I think, is really interesting. The deeper you dive in, because it's like a lot of foods are kind of, it depends, where they're depending on the source and like the quality of the source, or if it's an animal, how was it raised? What type of stress was it under?
Yeah.
And then with like bread, for example, would be, processing. Did they make it the correct way? Did it break down the anti-nutrients, and was it able to ferment for, a certain period of time or a range of a period of time? In most cases, no. It's, any bread that you'll just buy off the shelf, it's all like pre-sliced. Usually it's not,
manufactured almost more so than like raised or cultivated, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's this like, it's this huge change in mentality, how we just view our food as we've been talking about, but like, it's just so important to emphasize like how the food makes it onto your plate. And even like how you cook it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So as I'm sure you know, Ray Pete passed away a couple weeks ago. How did you get introduced to Ray?
It's sad. Thoughts and prayers go out to his family. But he's an amazing guy. Like he was a huge leader in this thought movement behind metabolic health and the impact and reality of, how important it is to address that. I was first introduced to him. I think I found him back when I was beginning the research into trying to figure out what I should be doing for my own nutrition in college, when, after I came back, I was on medical leave for the tumor, and I came back for junior year. Mm-hmm. That's when I was diving in a lot, and I found Ray Pete's forum, and then I started reading his articles and everything back then. And I was like, wow, this guy's thorough, very interesting, very like first time you read his work, really counterculture, I guess. So that's what kind of intrigued me. I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And it's very well cited. And, he's also like, he's really good at making pattern based observations.
Yeah.
So you can start, the more you read, you start to see how these patterns, are, you know, playing out and how predictive in nature things can get.
That's a good way to phrase it too, because he doesn't really come to conclusions, I would say. He doesn't give you like a red, black and white world view. He gives you like, these are what I've seen. This is what I've seen. These are the studies that I've found. And this is kind of the observation I've made as a result.
Yeah. I think that's an important way to think in general for anybody. Because one of the pitfalls in developing the thermodiet over the years, a big part of it was like, we didn't want the rigidity that's involved with any other type of diet, mm-hmm. Where especially back then the keto was just huge, but it's so restrictive and rigid and obviously metabolically pretty bad for your body. But that was the psychological element of that rigidity, I think was really important to, get rid of the, basically just have guidelines in place and give people permission to not like fall off the wagon or get mm-hmm. into some sort of like binge purge cycle, whether it's, I'm not saying physically doing that, but more like a cycle of, they get really strict and then they fall off the wagon and then go crazy. And then they're just stuck in that cycle over and over and over. In order for anybody to make progress on their health, you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
So the psychology is a really big part of it. And that's why we have 80-20 thermo as a concept. It's like, hey, you don't have to be like insane about this and, neurotic. Yeah. You can just, go with the flow. Like if you're out somewhere and traveling and it might be difficult to get a really good source mm-hmm. of something, don't beat yourself up about that. Yeah. Just be consistent.
It's interesting thing from like the paleo, because I feel like that's kind of where the keto diet, they fall along that line. But it's like, there's no one that was able, you need a continuous glucose monitor to see if you're in ketosis pretty much. It's like 20 grams of protein can put you out of ketosis or something like that, where it's so restrictive, but it's also like you have to be almost neurotic about it to maintain in ketosis.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, it's like you're just eating fat.
Yeah.
It's not enjoyable. That's another element of thermo that's really awesome, is like how enjoyable it is mm-hmm. and how easy it is to stick to over time. Even in the 80-20 aspect, just because the food actually tastes good.
Yeah.
That's an understated thing. It's like people get too caught in the weeds being focused on like a concept like keto mm-hmm. of just eating fat. But when you get down to it, it's like, that's not sustainable, obviously. It's gross. And, eventually your palate is just going to reject that,
Yeah. There's also the things where it's like intermittent fasting, where there are some benefits to it, but a lot of the benefits are like not for the reasons we think. Like Ray, I was just reading some of Ray's work and he talks about how part of the benefits of intermittent fasting is just giving your intestines more time to not be processing food, which can eliminate the like bacterial endotoxin absorption, and things like keto, where it's like you are just having, you're not eating grains anymore. And those grains were causing you food probably because they weren't prepared properly. And so it's like, you think the keto is working, but it really could be all the foods that you eliminated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually like a confounding variable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's hard, like even the thermo diet, it's like at the end of the day, it's just do kind of what works for you. And we have set these principles with what we believe will work for you.
Yeah. And if you understand the principles, it's really easy to navigate the everyday life, mm-hmm. I'll just go back to it. I think it's delicious. It actually turns into, you're focused on these foods and the recipes that are, you're going to enjoy them more than some other diet or even just like regular, eating out at restaurants or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you start cooking and eating this type of quality of food, your palate shifts into like, you can easily tell the difference between a good quality source of something or not.
Yeah. I think that's also an interesting thing where people talk about like going on keto. It's like you lose you don't want to taste sugary foods anymore. And I was thinking about it last night. It's like more of an adaptation. It doesn't mean it's ideal. Yeah. Like that you get used to it. And also I was thinking about, someone commented on my TikTok. It was about avoiding seed oils. And they were like, have you ever heard of a balanced diet? I was like, well, my balanced diet is avoiding seed oils the majority of the time.
Yeah.
You don't have to be neurotic about it, but just taking a balanced approach is kind of defined with a person.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like what works for your life and taking baby steps over time for people too. Cause not everyone, some people love jumping in and going like mm-hmm. full bore, but a lot of people don't. So because it's like such a huge shift for a lot of people to mm-hmm. start focusing on it, their nutrition differently, especially if you have a whole family and kids and you're trying to like, grocery shop for the whole family. So, taking baby steps is really easy. Just, And that's where the concept of activators and blockers is really useful. Because if you just, you know, introduce one activator a day and eliminate one blocker, you're making a really good progress over time. So, yeah, I think it's definitely like a very sustainable, easy way to be. And a lot of people say, a lot of reviews even on the book are like, yeah, this, it's not, it's almost a misnomer to call it a diet because it's really more of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's one of the cool approaches to the thermo diet. And even in general, I feel like a lot of people have issues processing carbs. And so it's like, start with a low carb approach and just progressively increase your tolerance to carbs, which is kind of the goal of the thermo diet in general. Just eat a lot of, eat as many calories as you possibly can without converting into fat.
Yeah. Cause it, you know, over time it'll steadily increase your metabolic rate and the heat generation in your body. So yeah, you'll find that you actually can eat more calories, with, you know, without the weight gain.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully you have some higher testosterone levels, all that fat's going there too.
Yep.
All that's good stuff. So we kind of covered this a little bit, but how has Ray affected your work and mindset?
I think his work actually helped because I naturally have always thought against the grain, or, you know, I listened to punk music when I was a kid. Like, I don't know, but there is, so it was intriguing because I was like, oh, actually somebody who's thoroughly diving into this, that in a way that's like, you know, interesting to me in terms of how I naturally think. So then I was like, okay, it's almost like a reinforcement of,
yeah,
it's like, okay, that's cool. So I can, you know, not that we need permission to do it, but a lot of times your brain just kind of is like, oh, not, okay, someone else is actually thinking like this. So I'm going to keep going down this road and dig into it some more. I think that's an important way to think. Yeah.
I got introduced to Ray through like you and Jaden, and I'll never forget the first video that I really not dove into, but like was really like, damn, this is crazy, is the sunblock video.
Oh yeah.
Cause
yeah.
It was just like this stuff is obviously not working. Like yeah. Skin cancer is on the rise. Everyone thinks sunblock is like the be all end all. Everyone throws it on their skin every day. And it's like, this hasn't solved the problem anyway. We're just buying a lot more sunblock.
Yeah. That's what, when you look at like any of these topics, it gets, and then you go look at the stats. It's kind of, I mean, it seems so logical to us, but I don't know how nobody else is looking at this or something.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. So if you could ask Ray one question, what would it be?
I don't know. I would say, especially because, you know, he had a full career and did a lot of great work. I would ask him what his, like, I don't know, what his most proud moment is from his career.
What's your most proud moment of your career?
I don't know. It's hard. It's a hard question. I don't know, really. I'm stoked. I love Umzu and working on Umzu. It's just, yeah, it's like a life's work thing. I'd say like the process has been my proud moment.
It's awesome. It's come a long way.
Yeah.
From the Thermodi closet or the Truth Nutri closet, all the supplements we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. We started, for anyone that doesn't know the backstory, we actually started in we'd rented an apartment to use as an office. So we were, you know, shipping out of that apartment and then moved into an office where then David was in we had a little, you know, warehouse closet, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like a little side closet room. And then now we're in a 100,000 square foot warehouse. So pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So in transitioning from Truth Nutra to Umzu, how did your vision of the company change?
It didn't change. It just, I think the new brand name, there's something to like brand psychology and you know, how you perceive brands and how you, like kind of the opportunities that exist in terms of, you know, customer psychology and how we think about certain brands. The Truth Nutra was obviously, in terms of a brand name, very dialed in on the nutraceuticals in that aspect. My vision was always like, you know, let's create this big, you know, like
the overarching.
An overarching thing where we can address the aspects of the daily cycle, meaning like every part of someone's day usually has touch points where they're making decisions about what they're, you know, consuming, or if they're taking supplements, or they want to perform a certain way at work or in the gym. Basically, I wanted to encompass that and have products available that are better options than what currently exists. But when we shifted to Umzu and did the rebrand, I was really excited because now it was something clicked. Like when I found that name was available, and the domain, I was like extremely excited because it turned into something that where we, the, it's got the brand power to really create that, that, appeal, I guess, in a much wider audience. And it, it really, the brand also makes sense to, it makes more sense than a brand name like Truth Nutra yeah. to like expand it into covering the daily cycle and all the different types of products that we want to make.
Yeah. Truth Nutra is more for like the science geeks like me.
Yeah.
They really like the research and the information.
Yeah.
I think Umzu was great. How did you get the name Umzu?
Actually we had to rebrand cause there were, we were in a trademark issue with a couple different companies that were, that also named Truth something.
Okay.
So we were like, okay, let's rebrand and, you know, look at this like an opportunity. So I was just scouring the, all the listings for like open domain names for weeks at least. And then, eventually found it and I was like, this is it right here.
That's awesome.
It's, you know, it, I'm surprised it was available. I think it's a great name.
Yeah. It's turned out well.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you see something, you're like, all right,
that's it. Clicks, the light bulb goes off.
Yep.
So could you give one thing you love and one thing you hate about your current position as CEO?
I'd say, I mean, I love like the, leading the team and actually like, I mean, it's so rewarding to also see something that's an idea in your head to like come to life, but then even more so like our team is awesome. And I love being around everyone and making sure that, you know, we basically everyone here also has a route to achieve their goals. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of work on that end of the business and, you know, what we call organizational health. Of like, how do we keep improving the internal infrastructure in the company so that everyone's really stoked when they come to work? Mm-hmm. Everyone's like inspired. They realize the impact that we're making and, you know, just make this a better and better place to work. I think that's what I love about the company. I love like also the, all the mechanics of business, mm-hmm. I think are really cool. And how difficult it is and how much of a process it is over time. To, you know, just continue learning and refining your process. And once you start to learn certain things, it's kind of the classic thing of like, oh, I wish I could have known this or that 10 years ago, but also the reward is in just learning it over time.
Yeah.
And there's so much nuance in a company that not everyone notices. Like you really don't notice until you're in the middle of something and you're like, well, okay, wait, how could I have prevented this? Or how can I like make this even better or something like that. And then you really start thinking about nuances and a lot of, you know, a lot of people within the company also identify those and bring them to our attention and be like, all right, let's fix this problem. Or, you know, let's work on something, a new initiative or innovate, you know, in a certain way.
Yeah. It's funny. A lot of my friends like see it from the outside and they think we're this like cult that like none of us eat vegetables. And I'm just like, dude, like the guy who recorded this video, like it's always Aiden. Usually it's like his favorite meal is Chick-fil-A. But so it's just not at all this like closed-minded group. It's very, very tight, but it's everyone has their own ideas and own things they want to see come about.
Yeah. And you know, most people have a genuine interest in their health.
Or they will at some point.
And improving it. Yeah. And I think it's really cool. I love the energy and the culture around our team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. And then I guess what I would hate, there are always things in every stage of growing where, it's just, there's like these challenges that you're like, ah, I could have prevented this, but I didn't, cause I didn't know anything about what would come, you know, consequence or whatever would happen. That's probably something that it's the most challenging cause you realize like, oh, you could have prevented this and it won't happen ever again because you know, will prevent it in the future. But it's just kind of this like bittersweet thing when you realize these things and you know, when they happen, you just want to go back in time, basically see if you can fix it before it happens.
What was that saying? Like the more, the more, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just kind of realize you don't, the more you learn about stuff, the more nuance becomes important. And, then you realize how deep that goes. Way deeper than anyone thinks.
Yeah. You know? I guess that's probably part of going back to that conversation where it's like the logical fallacy or whatever. It's like the people think one thing and we're like, oh, this is very logical. It's like when you realize the nuance and you get into the nuances, you realize how much depth there is versus like black and white, the world you live in when you don't know that much about it.
Yeah. Like the, you can go so deep on really anything, especially in a company.
Yeah.
There's always like these aspects of, you know, it's like, what do you want to learn? You know, just focus on something really deeply for a period of time and you'll start to uncover things that are really interesting. You never knew they were there.
It's interesting. So what are you most excited for in MZU's future?
Right now I'm stoked about a couple things. We're working on the nutrient testing platform and building out the architecture of that. And we're going to be launching the beta for that in early 2023. So that'll be really cool. I think that's that brings everything to a new level in terms of like the data that we have and the ability to create new products that are more and more accurate and effective. Mm-hmm. And just in general, I mean, if you think about it, like if we got all of our subscribers in, you know, doing tests, you know, on day one, we instantly have like the biggest longitudinal study ever done.
Yeah.
Over, and it can go for many years.
And we could pretty much tell you exactly why you're having these symptoms at some point. It's like versus like TesterX is kind of taking a shot in the dark versus like we think on average, the most people that are having these issues are going to be deficient in these nutrients versus like I can give you this test, tell you exactly verbatim what you need and what you need to take out.
Yeah. And that's what it's just like this evolution in the accuracy of what we're doing, which, you know, is I think industry leading in terms of. Mm-hmm. 100%. Supplement brands or people that manufacture supplements that it's most people aren't focused on actually showing the customers how the product works and that it is working in their body. And most people honestly aren't that confident in their products. Like we are, where we're going to be offering people their own data and we can show you that this will help you overcome your deficiency.
I was listening to something about the marketing behind the Spotify Wrapped, and it's like you can actually sell the data of your listening back to them in a usable form. So, and that's why people love it so much. It's like they're actually learning about what they're doing. It's kind of an interesting way to think about that. Like we're going to sell you your own data back. We can tell you what you're deficient in. You take our supplement for a couple months, and now you realize you're no longer deficient in it. Hopefully, that solves your ailments.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a good like triage step for people because you know anybody really has some sort of symptom at any time, right? And it can ebb and flow or it can shift to different things over time. But you can take a nutrient test and figure out your deficiencies, you know, within a few days and get really accurate. You can correct those and then move into a more of a maintenance pattern and then just keep monitoring. So it goes from being reactive to being preventative long term, where then we're talking about, you know, longevity and extending lifespans and you know, having lower stress over life. And, it, you know, even this metabolic stress that comes with it, having deficiencies will, you know, be lessened in anyone that does it this way.
And that's another weird shift in like the industry, right? It's like you only go to the doctor when you're sick.
Yeah.
Versus like this reactive approach versus this preventative approach. It's like, hopefully we can prevent these things. And if that fails, then you go to the doctor. Or the doctor should just be doing this in the first place.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
And that's part of the whole, like the, on the business side of this that I think is really cool is the, you know, getting a nutrient test from a doctor is extremely difficult to do. Even getting a normal, like a hormone test on something, very hard. Most doctors are going to be difficult to convince that they should be ordering that for you.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you're in a really extreme situation. But, a lot of that comes down to two is like it's the cost involved, the insurance companies, everything. Where it ends up, this is in reality, this is your body, this is your data. Like, why can't you have access to it in a more democratized way? Like, you have the right to know it. But there are all these gatekeepers in the middle where it just makes it difficult to do. So part of our initiative is to really make it accessible and affordable for people. So this can be something that you can do every couple months and just continue monitoring your nutrient levels.
I'd also add on to that the sort of separation in the medical industry where it's just like you have a pediatric doctor, a endocrinologist, a neurologist. So it's like they don't see they don't view the body as this one big picture, which is, it's like, why would you get a nutrient test if you know, your pediatrician isn't going to look at the nutrients, maybe your endocrinologist might, but there's so many gateways, as you said.
Yeah. It's all like silos.
Yes.
And yeah it's kind of like that adage of the three guys that are with the elephant. And one's holding the tail and says it's a snake. One's, holding the trunk and says something else. One's touching the leg or the body of the animal, and the, you know, so they the all tree, have a different yeah, yeah. viewpoint, right? Yep. So, but yeah, you have to look at it as a system. It is, you know, everything connects within your body. So it's all, you know, a deficiency is going to impact a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at it from, that's kind of like the first principle way to think about it. And then, after that, it's actually a lot easier to figure stuff out, you know, because, you know, once you have a nutrient panel done and you can see deficiencies, then if you, you know, dive even deeper and go the next level, you know, up in terms of the testing on like a kind of a, the pyramid structure that we use for thinking about is you'd be testing your hormones. So, but you could probably, if you know enough about it, you could probably mm-hmm. guess which hormones are going to be low, based on your deficiencies.
Yeah. It's also interesting to think about hormones as like mineral and nutrient regulators. Like you got the glucocorticoids, like cortisol, which regulates glucose and insulin, and the mineral corticoids that regulate, you know, minerals yeah. like zinc, copper. So it's like people don't tie those together. So it makes hormones so much easier to think about.
Yeah. They become less nebulous, I guess.
Yes. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Cool.
So, what, if you formulate one supplement right now outside of the nutrient testing, what would it be?
I'm thinking we're going to focus on making a really good hair loss.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. Like something to help restore the growth in your scalp. So, that would be a cool one.
Yeah. That'd help a lot of people. I'm sure they would love that.
Yeah.
What was it like transitioning from Christopher Walker, like the everyday person, to the health influencer?
it's cool, I guess, but it's not like my personality is not really into, I don't like social media mm-hmm. and, I was kind of reluctant in the beginning to, when we were first starting to do YouTube, just cause I'm not comfortable like doing, you know, and I don't really crave that attention. Mm-hmm. I don't, yeah, it doesn't do it for me. So, but over time you overcome the discomfort and I noticed like, you know, I have to do this. This yeah. is, I have to sit and, you know, get out of that comfort zone there. So it, you know, bittersweet probably.
Yeah. How did you handle like all your family, like coming up, like all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, like, let me ask Chris about this, like your friends. It's like kind of like it's a weird transition.
Yeah. I think it's cool with like family and friends. Because yeah, they're like genuinely trying to figure out mm-hmm. how to solve something. And you know, if I can help them, that's great. You
yeah.
know? Yeah.
That is cool. What started Think Again? Like what was the idea behind it?
Yeah, Think Again has been really fun to make. We started a few years ago. We haven't done one recently, but we'd love to get back into it and do more of them. The concept is basically going back to what we were talking about earlier of like basically revealing the backstory or the reality of behind why certain myths exist mm-hmm. in nutrition and health. So it's really fun. You know, it's like, the creative team just crushes all the episodes. It's like next level, you know, like this totally could be on Netflix, way better than all these Netflix shows.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's really cool to also have the ability to break out of, you know, more of a normal pattern of creating content and going into like a more creative way of mm-hmm. doing it, or ambitious way. So yeah, it's really fun. And that's kind of how it came about. We were like, let's try something new, which we do. Let's do myth busting. Cause you know, we've done myth busting on my YouTube channel before, but let's do it in a way where it's like really, a big depth of knowledge, but then also like incredible visuals and, the editing and the sound. And
it's like, you know, telling a story too.
Yeah. Like yeah. a narrative base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so interesting. Even if you like disagree with whatever the topic was, it's like, at least you have some additional perspective. Yeah. And like the best way, if you want to strengthen your own argument, is to listen to the people that disagree with you, right? Like
yeah.
just go and hear something else besides of the own echo chamber.
Yeah. It's like you said, yeah, it just increases your perspective on things. It improves the width of what you can, you know, what's out there. Cause most people aren't talking about all the things that are in opposition to a conventional belief.
Yeah. So if you could make one Think Again episode right now, what would the next one be?
I think doing one on the supplement industry would be really cool.
What about specifically?
Like the reality behind what happens. It's improved a ton yeah. since starting this, but the, you know, what it used to be was just this like, and that's why there's this perception of everyone's like, oh, this is, or this or that is snake oil or whatever. Mm-hmm. Even 10 years ago, there were a lot of people that were just out. It was like the Wild West, like no regulation, no compliance at all. People were just being like basically terrible people starting these companies that were then, you know, ripping consumers off and with ineffective products. Mm-hmm. But now since then, it's just been a huge shift in terms of the improvement or the acceleration of awareness of all that. So now there's really great things for third party testing. So we third party lab test all of our supplements, every new batch that, mm-hmm. that we manufacture. And there's, you know, all these compliance elements that are in place.
I guess before you could just buy anything and you thought it would give you these miracle results. And like, you think of like the dick pills, like all those things, like those crazy things that are obviously have no truth. And now it's just a completely different industry. And that's where the nutrient testing is going to be so revolutionary, where it's like, we're not making these guesses. We're going to make these, you know, accurate decisions almost.
Yeah. It's the amount of accuracy. I think like our product catalog right now is extremely accurate in terms of using current research that, you know, justifies the claim, right, or backs it up. But this is like a new level because even, you know, the biggest research institutions in the country aren't doing tons of studies on all of these compounds. This is going to accelerate the level of knowledge that we have about how people react to different things and how, like, what the benefits can be for overcoming health problems. And it can happen on such a rapid scale compared to doing, these other studies that people do with grant funding and through universities and stuff, because the sample sizes are also so small compared to what we're going to be able to achieve. Yeah. So,
yeah, I'd like to see one on like kind of busting this, like we should continually eat less. Like everyone's trying to eat like 1200 calories. And we used to be eating like 5,000 calories a day. I haven't referenced the study yet, but I heard a quote from a guy on the podcast, or not on our podcast, Brad Marshall, but he was talking about how the people that ate the most in the 30s were people that worked in the cities, which weren't very active, or at least not much more active than the average person is today. And they're eating 5,000 calories a day, and they were eating the most because they could afford it. But no one was fat back then. So it's like everyone thinks that we're just gluttonous and overeating and lazy, but it's just not what's really happening. So our metabolisms are slowing down because we're eating crap and not eating enough of the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had a question for you. I'm sure you've heard about the Liver King thing going on right now where he got busted for the steroid use.
Just a little bit, only from overhearing you guys.
Yeah. It's basically like came out that like he had been talking about being natural and was on steroids. It turns out, and he had been lying about it. But what I wanted to ask you about and what attracted me to like you and Greg was you just talked about like natural hormone optimization, not using like, even Greg was even anti-supplement at one point, but like doing the best with your biology. What do you think about, there's this huge kind of trend in the industry, like now it's kind of being very openly talked about, like steroid use and like how to use it. Do you think it's beneficial to talk about like how to use steroids so you're not harming your body? Or do you think like we should just kind of like not push it away, but just like everyone that I go to a gym where everyone's on steroids pretty much, or a lot of people are on steroids, and they all have like body dysmorphia. It's like not like steroids solve a problem. So do you think like we should talk about steroids more openly and let people make more informed decisions? Or it's like time to, like, it's like a drug, like something else, right? You don't see people talking about other illicit drugs. So I don't know. I'm just curious. I don't know if I phrased that properly, but
yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know. It's difficult. It's kind of the same thing as like, do you do that with other illicit drugs? Is giving people more education and understanding about it going to drive them to want to do it? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to help them actually stay away from it? Is it going to help them actually navigate the situation better? I'd say usually, you know, things, usually having more information is going to help people, but probably not in all cases.
Yeah.
Because it would probably drive more people, you know, other, like, while it wouldn't be a giant group of people that are going and like, oh, now I'm going to take steroids because I know something about it. Mm. There will be people that will do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough like balance.
Yeah.
And it's also my issue like with steroids today is just like, I feel like so few people have realistic expectations because you never know who's on steroids, who's not. Like some people might be genetic freaks. A lot of them are on steroids. So it's like kids are looking, trying to be like the Arnold Schwarzeneggers, but they don't have like a realistic model of what they could achieve.
Yeah. Well, they instantly also like discount doing it naturally. Mm-hmm. Once they realize it's a lot of this is like steroid driven, when looking at like YouTubers and stuff.
And even like natural hormonal optimization to increase muscle growth, things like that too.
Yeah. And you can do a lot with that. Especially when it really like kind of clicks in and you're on mm-hmm. a roll. But yeah, a lot of people don't know that. Yeah. So they'll typically just go toward the steroid if that's what they're inclined to do. But also in terms of the education and that topic from earlier, that's where it would really help, is actually educating on the consequences of it too.
Yeah.
Because, pumping this much, this amount of unnatural hormone, whatever the hormone might be that it's mimicking or replacing or amplifying, has a pretty extreme consequence in almost every case, because hormones operate on a feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're basically overriding. And so you're going to, back to micronutrients even, it's like you're going to be stripping and causing huge deficiencies across your whole body. And, is it worth that? Because you end up seeing a lot of these professional bodybuilders have like pretty serious health issues, and heart attacks and things like that, within just a matter of years of starting on steroid mm-hmm. cycles. And, in my opinion, I don't think it's worth that effort to fuel that, obsession really.
Yeah.
It's much better to do it naturally. You don't have to deal with the consequence in 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a coach that has a lot of pro bodybuilders under him, and he was talking about, you would think, I was like, do you recommend liver to your bodybuilders? And they're like, dude, I recommend whatever they are willing to eat. And it's not like, so like the steroids are, in my opinion, are kind of, obviously I'm not going to say an easy way out, because you still have to work really hard. You still have to do all the right things, but there are things that you could go above and beyond naturally that is a lot easier to do with steroids. And obviously you might not get the same results as with steroids as going the natural route, but it is in a way an easier way out to achieve the results. Like, it should be hard to build an amazing physique. It should take a long time.
Yeah. It's a process, and it requires hard work, and that's where it's really rewarding actually, when you're going after that. And the thing too is, like, when you're doing it naturally, you're not going to have those health consequences. You're not going to have side effects. You're actually like supporting your long-term health.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also not going to be unnaturally large and get like unathletic. And so I know a lot of people don't want to be like a giant meathead looking person. They want to fit into normal jeans
indoors and
sit on an airplane.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you do it naturally the right way and focus on certain body parts that can upregulate, more receptor sites for mm-hmm. androgens and so forth, you'll get a lot of muscle growth, but you won't be like crazy big,
Won't be a huge meathead.
You also feel good too. Yeah. Like you feel better,
Mm-hmm. So my last question is, so you began your journey just to, fix your own health issues and Truth Neutral came out of an idea a couple of years ago. We recently hit our 2 millionth lifetime subscriber. So what does it feel like to have helped millions of people?
Feels pretty awesome. Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Awesome. It's insane.
Yeah. Next stop, 10 million.
There we go.
But yeah, that's always been a part of the vision. It's like, how big can we get this? How wide can we go in terms of our reach? And, over the last few years, especially, it's been really rewarding to see. And, also we have a Slack channel of, customer care team posting, comments and, feedback from our customers, all throughout the day, every day. So it's really cool to see how we impact everyone's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just, I'm of the opinion of like, I guess it's like ethical capitalism or conscious capitalism of like, why would you start a business where you're not having that kind of impact, right? Like, what's the point of your business? And it's really cool when you have a business that has a point, it's got a mission and we're doing it. It's really cool to see it in action mm-hmm. and how it helps millions of people.
Yeah. Coming from the customer care team, like there are definitely some days where it's obviously not easy. Customer service is a hard job. Shout out to the customer care team. Yep. But you get those stories where it's like, wow, this is like, makes your day.
Yeah.
Like you hear these stories where it's like you had a profound impact on your life. And even if it wasn't me directly, I didn't sell them supplement, but like we were there for them. We helped them in a significant way.
Yeah. And everyone in the company has their role in that, which is really cool. It's like this machine that, everyone's working in concert, but it's like a living, breathing machine, mm-hmm. And it all matters in terms of like getting to that end goal of helping the customer. So it's cool to hear the feedback. I think it's cool for anybody on the team to hear that.
Last question. If you could tell all those 2 million customers like one thing, I think one of the cool things is that the new motto is like your health, your hands. And it's just this idea that embodies what we do at Umzu, where it's like at the end of the day, like you can buy our supplements or not, but just take back control of your health.
Yeah.
How would you, is that what you would say, or what would you say to the customers and everyone that hears our name?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, that's really important. It's like, that's the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, our purpose is to give you back in that control of your own health and help you realize that you can actually do it. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to go and like abdicate it to someone, like only go visit your doctor when you're sick, or ask someone, like if your doctor doesn't have much nutrition training, why would you take that mm-hmm. advice from anybody that doesn't have much knowledge in any area? I think giving, and that's why education is really important for Umzu.
Yeah.
And we've always had education as like the leading component of everything, is like teach people things, you know, teach them what's real.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then you're actually empowering them to make their own decisions. And whether it's with our products or with someone else, yeah, they're actually in a better place because they came into contact with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's, I think, really cool. And I would also just tell them, thanks for the support. I really appreciate that. Like everyone's trust in our company, and, every year we get better and better. And, yeah, it's all like kind of this big, cool cultural, like thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Yeah. The whole environment around Umzu is awesome, from the team to our suppliers and to our customers. It's all like this really cool ecosystem.
Yeah. And it's really awesome to see like your work and Ray's work are starting to really become almost mainstream.
Yeah.
Or at least like alternative mainstream, where people are really like doing things. It's almost like we are changing the culture in some sense. Like people are taking their health back in their hands and doing things like, I mean, the carrot salad's going viral on TikTok right now.
Oh, nice.
Like a random ass thing that Ray has been talking about for years. And it's like, wow, people are actually like, huh, I could eat this carrot and it helps me out.
Yeah. And a lot of times it is that simple, like the carrot salad. And it's just, yeah, it is really cool. 'Cause I definitely could see that the signs of it like years ago of like, wow, this is big. And once everyone realizes, you know, the truth about all this stuff, it's going to catch on pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And it'll take life in, you know, I guess take on a life of its own with like how big it can get in terms of the awareness. So now it's really cool to see it gaining momentum.
Mm.
And especially out of the wake of keto, you know, keto was so big. Everyone and their grandma was doing it.
Yeah.
And talking about it. But then you can naturally kind of see that. And it's interesting because thermo is basically the opposite of keto in a lot of ways. And you can kind of see that there'd be this disenfranchisement with keto because it's not sustainable. It's actually very difficult. It's not healthy. It's something that eventually everyone's just going to be like, any other options out there,
you know? Yeah.
And with, when you hear and kind of realize, it takes a little time for people to realize that sugar and salt, for example, are actually really good for your body. But when they start to realize that and look at like the sources and actually try out eating thermo over time, you know, not a long period of time either. You just start to feel better.
Yeah.
So then people start talking about it, and it spreads to family and friends and so forth. So, I think it's really cool. I'm glad it's gaining momentum because, it'd be nice to have like more accurate information out there in the general knowledge, you know.
I'm excited for the days we can go to Chipotle and they're cooking in tallow.
Yeah.
All that too. Stuff. Yeah. That'll be awesome.
Yeah. And they're using like avocado oil or something.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. This was an awesome episode. Thanks for hopping on, Chris.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.